From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Liz Palka reporting, responding to the death of an American college student. Otto Warmbier, the American college student who was detained in North Korea for nearly a year and a half, has died, his family said Monday. Warmbier was returned to the United States last week in a coma. Doctors in his hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio, said the 22-year-old had suffered severe brain damage while in North Korea, but that it was not clear what caused it. Stephen Norper is the senior director of the Korea Society out of New York.
Certainly, it's a brutal regime that did nothing less than return an American student brutalized, terrorized, as his father said, and in a vegetative state. And within days, he's passed. And marks a tremendous, tremendous human tragedy, and it reminds the world of the brutality of the Pyongyang regime.
North Korea said Warmbier fell into a coma soon after he was sentenced in March of last year for stealing a political poster from a North Korean hotel. The government claimed the young man fell into a coma after contracting botulism and being given a sleeping pill. A van collided with pedestrians outside a London mosque early Monday, injuring 10 people in what British Prime Minister Theresa May called a sickening terrorist attack on Muslims. The vehicle swerved into a group of people shortly after midnight as they left prayers at the Muslim Welfare House and the nearby Finsbury Park Mosque in North London, one of the biggest in Britain. One person died at the scene, but it was not clear if he died as a result of the attack or from something else. Police will assess the security of mosques and provide any additional resources needed ahead of celebrations marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan. This is VOA News. Australia announced Tuesday it has temporarily suspended airstrikes by its forces in Syria. The move comes days after a U.S. fighter jet shot down a Syrian jet, and Syrian ally Russia responded by threatening to treat planes from a U.S.-led coalition operating in the skies over Syria as targets. White House spokesman Sean Spicer responded to that threat from Washington on Monday.
The escalation of hostilities among all of the factions that are operating there doesn't help anybody. And so making sure that people understand that while we want to de-escalate the situation there, that we have to understand that we will always preserve the right of self-defense.
Australia is part of the coalition that began airstrikes against the Islamic State targets in Syria in September 2014. A statement from Australia's defense ministry said it would monitor the air situation in Syria and make a decision on resuming airstrikes there in due course. German Chancellor Angela Merkel vowed Tuesday to seek a broad agreement on trade at next month's Group of 20 summit and told German business leaders that she won't give up on a free trade deal between Europe and the U.S. Merkel will host leaders of the G20 powers in July amid widespread concern over the Trump administration's America First approach to trade. In a speech to an annual German industry congress, she stressed the need to convince others of the advantages of open markets and free and fair world trade. U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday announced he wants to see up to $1 trillion of tax savings over the next decade by a sweeping transformation of the federal government's technology. Trump told the American Technology Advisory Council in the White House State Dining Room that his administration is embracing big change and bold thinking. A group of high-tech heavyweights, some of whom have criticized President Trump's policies, huddled at the White House on Monday as the administration kicked off its Technology Week. North Korea's missile and nuclear threats are expected to be among the issues discussed at the inaugural U.S.-China diplomatic and security dialogue being held in Washington this week. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman said Tuesday that Beijing hopes to seek positive outcomes from the dialogue. Starbucks has announced plans to hire 2,500 refugees in its European stores by the year 2022 as part of a global program announced in January. The Seattle-based coffee house chain said Tuesday that the figure will be part of Starbucks' commitment to hire 10,000 refugees around the world. I'm Liz Palka reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.